Wednesday, June 29th, 2016, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. You know, we are happy to have you join us for another dose of our unique brand of sports nonsense, and if you have a friend that you would like to recommend the show to, just let them know they can go to a number of places to download or subscribe it. Of course, the Daily Dose is on places like iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play. You could go to somewhere like Podcast Republic, something like that. You can also go over to rogueintel.com and listen to the show right there. And while you're over at Rogue, feel free to check out a few of the other podcasts that are over there. There are a number of podcasts over on the Rogue Intel Podcast Network, whether it's the Prime Podcast with Carrie and Duff. You know, in fact, I've heard that the Prime Podcast is actually on the lookout right now for someone to add to the mix. I don't know if you have those kind of qualifications, but just something to keep in mind. The Prime Podcast might be looking for a third host on there. Or maybe it's just something like Remedial Radio. You are sure to find a few more podcasts over on Rogue that you're going to enjoy. If you'd like to contact the show, let's get this stuff out of the way right up front, because we do have a full show today. If you want to contact the show, you got a comment, you got a suggestion, maybe you have a question, or maybe you even need some advice. You know, I've been telling you over the past few weeks, our email show is coming in a few weeks. And I do already have a few good emails, but we're always, you know, eager to hear from you. Feel free to shoot us an email. You can hit us at dailydosesports@gmail.com. That is D-A-L-Y, dailydosesports@gmail.com. You can also find us over on Facebook or on Twitter. Both of those handles are at Daily Dose Sports. Today on the show, we are going to be recapping the NBA season. You know, the NBA season just ended, you know, last week. And we saw the finals. We saw the craziness that happened in the NBA finals this year. But I want to just kind of take a look back at the full season. I want to take a look back at a few things that stood out to me. You know, we saw records go down this year. We saw certain teams step up at big times. We saw other teams maybe take a step back. I want to take a look back at the NBA season. You know, we always have to kind of finish out the year. We hand out some awards. I want to hand out, you know, our typical awards that we hand out every year. And then, you know how we do. We always got to hand out a few NBA awards, Daily Dose style, and just kind of finish up the NBA year and kind of do it the right way. Also want to talk a few winners and losers from the NBA draft. You know, we saw the NBA draft take place last week, saw a number of players go, maybe some players went a little higher than we thought they would, a couple of players that we saw fall, a couple of teams maybe that stepped up and made some really, really interesting moves, and a couple of teams that maybe didn't do quite as much as we thought they would. You know, NBA free agency is looming. I've got a few, and the weird thing about this season is it's not like it's the you know, the role players. It's not like it's the background guys. No, it's the main big names. I want to throw out a few different names and a few different scenarios for some of those big names coming out in NBA free agency. And as usual, we do have to get to our Daily Dose top five. You know, if I'm ever going to get comments on something about the show, yes, every once in a while I'll get something where I just don't agree with this or I don't agree with that and I think you're wrong on this or I think you're wrong with that. But usually I will get a few comments on the Daily Dose Top 5. You've got to stick around for that today. I think I've got one that is a little bit interesting. I've got one that I think you're going to enjoy quite a bit, so make sure you stick around for that. You know, I was going to just jump straight into the NBA. We have so much NBA stuff that I want to get to today. I was just going to jump just straight in and just start talking about, you know, a number of the things that happened this season and a few things like that. But there are a few things that have come out. A few things came out yesterday in the world of breaking news that I just kind of feel like I've got to talk to before we get to that. First off, Hall of Fame basketball coach Pat Summitt. She was a pioneer of women's college basketball, guided the Tennessee Volunteers to 8 national titles in her 38 seasons at Tennessee, died Tuesday morning. She was 64. Pat had been suffering from Alzheimer's. She had kind of gone through some dementia kind of stuff. You know, interesting person, Pat Summitt. And if you've read anything about her, I had the pleasure, I guess, of getting to hear her speak before. She was very, you want to talk about, like I've heard a lot of coaches speak. In my background, I did some coaching. I was able to come in contact with some big-name coaches, from professional coaches to some of the top college coaches. I heard Pat Summitt speak, and I'm telling you right now, as intimidated as you are by some of these big-name coaches, like, you see Mike Krzyzewski, and Mike says hi to you. Hi, coach, how's it going? Pat Summitt, like, I was ready to take a charge for Pat Summitt. Like, she intimidated me more than anyone. Here's a stat for you to keep in mind with Pat Summitt. And I don't care, male, female, whatever she would have coached, she would have been phenomenal at. She just had that kind of personality. Here's a stat that kind of keep in mind when you're thinking of Pat Summitt. Every lady volunteer basketball player from 1976 to 2011 played in at least one Final Four if they remained on the team. I mean, seriously? That's insane. That is absolutely crazy. They say, they are saying right now, that they kind of had to ask people, former players, former assistant coaches, just friends, they kind of had to ask people to leave because she had reached a point where she was so sick, but she didn't want to not talk to someone. She didn't want to miss some of her former players coming back to see her. They finally had to kind of ask people, you got to stop showing up. As horrifying as it sounds, she can't just go in peace. She can't just die because she is keeping herself alive to see everyone that comes to meet her, everyone that comes to talk to her, everyone that comes to say goodbye to her. They kind of had to ask people to stop coming. Pat Summitt, pretty incredible person, pretty amazing coach, and the job that she did. One of the things that kind of gets forgotten in what Pat Summitt did at Tennessee was she was always eager to help other programs. Remember, you see these programs playing each other on the women's side. We don't always see that on the men's side. You would see Tennessee playing UConn in the preseason, like before their conference, they would play each other. You would see them play like an Old Dominion. You would see them play like a Texas Tech or Louisiana Tech. You would see Tennessee always doing this. And do you know why they always did this? Because Pat Summitt would always agree to play in home and home with those opponents because she knew it would help the game. If we have a packed arena, it just helps women's hoops. Women's basketball, basketball in general, and sports in general will definitely miss Pat Summitt. Not only do we lose Pat Summitt yesterday, we also lost former NFL coach and very influential defensive coordinator Buddy Ryan. Buddy Ryan passed away at 82 yesterday. Buddy Ryan, different guy. He's a different guy, but when you think of the NFL right now, so much of what teams are doing is based on what Buddy Ryan used to do. We have all these offenses. You have all these spread offenses. You have wide receivers, three wide on one side. You've got a running back over on the other side split out. You have all these. It's all because of what Buddy Ryan did. Buddy Ryan, very, very famous for his 4-6 defense. Remember with the Chicago Bears, maybe the greatest defense ever. The mid-80s Chicago Bears. But he had that 4-46 defense. Now, there's a little bit of a misnomer as to what that 46 defense actually is. There's a number of people that you might hear that in you, 46 defense. That's four defensive linemen and then six linebackers, and then what, they have like a safety behind? I don't know. That's not actually what it was. The 46 defense, the reason it was called the 46 was because he brought up his strong safety, Doug Plank. What they would do is they would go, basically, they would kind of run six defensive linemen, kind of two linebackers, and then they would bring up their strong safety. Their strong safety was Doug Plank. He was number 46. And then they would basically play, you know, just a one safety back, and they would pin their ears back. And Buddy Ryan was famous. He's had the quote of, "No quarterback is going to beat me if he's on his back." And that's kind of the way he approached his defense. They just came after you and came after, you know, with all the Bounty Gate stuff. Remember Bounty Gate with the New Orleans Saints a few years back? And they were talking about, well, if you knock this guy, Buddy Ryan was open about it. Like, remember he wanted to go after that punter one time? He was like, remember that punter? He used to play for us. I'll give you $500 if you knock him out. Buddy Ryan had a lot of enemies, had a lot of people that didn't like him, but he probably put together what might have been the greatest defense ever, the NFL. And again, football, a lot of people may have known who Buddy Ryan was. Don't forget when the 85 Bears won the Super Bowl, they carried both head coach Mike Ditka and the defense carried off Buddy Ryan after that game. Another person that we have lost here just recently. You know, I'm not sure if you saw this, but apparently the Philadelphia 76ers are intending to make a pretty serious push for Golden State Warriors restricted free agent Harrison Barnes when the NBA's offseason marketplace opens up on Friday. You know, I want to talk a little bit about some of the moves. I told you, you know, there's some things moving around. There's some big name players that are out there that could be of interest. And there's already some talk that, you know, a few players are talking to different teams. There's a number of things that could be shifting around in the world of the NBA that we definitely want to get to. We better jump in. We have too much to get to today. So first off, you know, basketball's over. Hockey is over. NFL is still like over a month away. Now what? Now what do you do? Now what do you watch? You can start watching baseball, but let's be real honest. I mean, I have to take baseball in small doses, and I've noticed that I have to take baseball with people that really appreciate and love the game. There are certain people I can watch baseball with. Like, I'll have it on in the background, but I struggle. So now I'm watching a lot of Netflix. I'm watching a lot of, you know, documentaries. I'm watching a few different shows. Are you watching Game of Thrones? I watch Game of Thrones, and for the most part, I can keep up with it. But I get confused, and I don't know all their names, and I don't know what silly tribe they're in or whatever it is. So there's some confusion there that I can't always keep up with. But what are you doing now? I just want you to know. I want you to know that the Daily Dose does feel your pain. Like, this is the dry time of year. This is the time of year that it's just kind of tough. There's just not a lot going on. And we do have the Olympics, but they're not coming until August. By August, we'll be starting to get into some NFL training camp stuff. Please understand, we do have a few things that will be coming. We do have a few things for you to be listening to that I think you'll stay interested in. We'll keep you updated. I know there's going to be other shows out there that they're just going to start playing repeats. We're not going to play any repeats for you. We don't really need to do that. We have a number of other directions that we can go to. Okay, so the 2015-2016 NBA season, it was crazy. It was crazy. We saw so many different things. We saw so many players step up. We saw so many players take a step back. The Golden State Warriors set records for wins. I mean, 73 wins in a single season. I'll be honest. I didn't think they would do it. I said back before the season, I thought that's just too much for them to chase. To hit the 72 win mark, there's no way. They beat it by a game. They beat it by a game. We saw Golden State set records for three-point shooting. The number of threes, not only that they take, but the number of threes that they make, it was absolutely incredible. We've never seen anything like it. And yet they still didn't finish with a title. You know, the thing I think that jumps out to me the most from the season, and there are a number of things that jump out to me. There are a number of things that stand out to me that I look at and I say, I'm starting to see some major, major changes in the landscape of the NBA. Because what we're starting to see now is we're starting to see that transition. We talked about this a little bit in the past. We're starting to see that transition where you can't just, you don't have these players. You don't have these Michael Jordans, these Kobe Bryants, these LeBron James. Yes, you still have LeBron James, but you don't have these one guys on every team that can just go down and physically be better than everyone else on the floor. That has started to change. You don't see these teams say, hey, we've got the Patrick Ewing, the Shaquille O'Neal. We dump it inside. We play inside. Then they kick it outside if they have to, and we play that. Everything now is outside first. We are starting to see more and more of a European type of game. And I'll be honest, I'm okay with that. I'm all right with that. Because for years, we said, remember the 90s? You know, the 70s, we're starting to get a little bit better. The 80s were a really fun era. And no, I'm not just saying that because, well, you were a kid and that was the most, that was your younger days. And so that was what you think was fun. No, it was a fun, it was a wide open game. We're starting to get back to that. Because remember what the Detroit Pistons did at the end of the 80s and into the early 90s. Everything was, we're going to close everything down. We're going to shut off the key. You're not going to cut. Anytime you come into the paint, we're going to knock you down. We're going to foul you. We're going to be physical. We're going to slow the game down to where it looks like both teams are playing in mud. And we had teams, you know, winning 81-79. And I understand it. As a coach, I understand it. Because if I can play defense, I don't have to be great or skilled at the other end. If we just shut down everything you do, then we can have an off night and we can still get a win. But I do kind of like the transition that we're seeing from the NBA right now. We're starting to see, and you hear, you know, you hear some complaints. We heard, was it Oscar Robertson this year? Saying, well, it, back in my day, Steph Curry wouldn't get to do what he did. And that's fine. I understand that. And if he wouldn't be the competitor that he was if he didn't say those kind of things or think that way. Everyone thinks their era is the best. But I will say, the part of it that I like, there are aspects to the game today that I really, really like. I like the spacing. I like the cutting without the ball. I like the fact that it's usually, not every time, but it's usually not one guy just dribbling the ball, standing out there by himself. There's movement. There's ball movement. There's player movement. There's guys cutting. There's guys trying to get open. We're starting to see a trend of shooting. You're hearing the phrase more and more every single day, it seems like, the stretch four. Have you heard the stretch four? Oh, he's a stretch four. Oh, did you hear the other night in the draft? Every guy that came, oh, he's another stretch four. Well, you know they got a stretch four. If you don't know what a stretch four means, And I don't know why they get these little phrases that they like to use. And of course, here at the Daily Dose, we like to point and laugh at those funny little phrases. The stretch four, he's a big guy that can step out and shoot. I know. I just went really, really deep on you. I'm sorry. I hate to get real scientific on you. He's like a power forward. He's a big man. Maybe he's even a center. He can step outside and he can actually shoot from, you know, 25, 28, shoot the three a little bit. He's a stretch four. He can stretch the floor. He can move out of the key and not just play with his back to the basket like some of those guys did. I like that aspect of the game. I like the screen and roll, the screen and pop. Some of that stuff, some of the action that we're starting to see. Like I said, it's a little bit more of a European-style game. This was the European ball that we started to see back in the 90s when they were playing us in the Olympics. Fun type of basketball. We're starting to see some of those things. Some of the teams that had success this year were those style of teams. You look at a team like, obviously, Golden State, but even look at a team like the Oklahoma City Thunder. You look even at a team like the Cleveland Cavaliers that won it all. There was an aspect of that game to what they did. They don't just go down, hey, let's just go down and post up LeBron James every single time. That's going to be our offense. That's not what they did. They had a lot of spacing. You would go inside, outside. You would kick it out to J.R. Smith. If he, I don't know, had taken his pill that day, he would knock it down, whatever that situation was. You would have Kyrie Irving. Now, Kyrie Irving dribbles a little too much for me, but the ability to create, the ability to go screen and roll, their ability in the finals to use that screen and roll, that screen and pop stuff with Kyrie, with LeBron, with Tristan Thompson, some of those guys, it just is kind of more of that progress where we're getting away from just one-on-one basketball. Like, one-on-one basketball sounds like it would be fun. It's painful to watch. It's horrible to watch. And so I think when I look back at this 2015-2016 season, that's the thing that stands out for me the most. Well, that, the spacing, the movement, the wide open, the more of a freestyle, that and the awful teams. Because let's be real clear, there's some horrible teams out there. And I think that stands out to me as well. There were some really, really bad teams out there. You look at teams like Sacramento, the Brooklyn Nets, even the New York Knicks, the Orlando Magic. There's some awful, awful teams out there. And I understand that some of these things are cyclical, but why don't we have a little more talent? Why don't we have a few better teams? Shouldn't there be more? How many teams could have really won it this year? Honestly, three? Maybe four? If, I don't know, the sun shines just right? That's about it. And I think we have to find some sort of way to have just a little bit more parity in the NBA, because it seems like the rich just continue to get richer. And it seems like the good teams continue to stay the good teams, and the bad teams continue to stay horrible. And there's some really, really bad teams out there. The Los Angeles Lakers are a horrible basketball team. They didn't have the players to field a real team. Got to do something a little bit better at that. So when I look back at those, at this season, I guess those are kind of the things that stand out to me. It has more of a European feel. It has a more wide open feel, and it's got some really, really ugly, ugly teams. Now, when I look at the NBA Finals, NBA Finals were a bizarre, one of the more weird NBA Finals I think I can remember recently. Remember, the leading team, the team that won 73 games, the best team from the regular season is up 3-1. You just need one more win. One more win, close it out, finish it up. And then the NBA suspended Draymond Green. And the Cavs won 3 in a row to close out the series. Now, I understand the run that the Cleveland Cavaliers went on, you can't short them that. The job that LeBron James did, I can't short him that. But make no mistake, the NBA did manipulate that a little bit. We've talked about that. And the way that changed the entire series, because Cleveland looked at it, and I've heard some of their players, I heard Richard Jefferson speaking, and he talked about, we just felt like we needed to win one game. If we could just win that game 5 at Golden State, then we thought we had a chance. Well, the NBA kind of made sure that happened, because they didn't want it to end in 5. If it ends in 5, they're shorted 2 games. That's 2 gates. That's 2 games of commercials. That's 2 games full of ad time to sell. They didn't want it to end in 5. Now, I'm not saying they made sure it went 7, but they definitely made sure it didn't just go 5. And so while I look back at the season and I say, yeah, it's, you know, some different aspects and the way Cleveland came back and really fun for the city of Cleveland, LeBron James bringing that elusive title to Cleveland, I'm always going to look back a little bit and remember the Draymond Green suspension and the fact that the NBA had a little bit of a hand in manipulating that final series. And I know everyone's kind of not talking about that. And I heard Adam Silver talk about that, talk a little bit the other day, and he said, well, hey, you know, we had to do what we had to do, and Draymond had to be suspended. Well, why wasn't he suspended the time before he had done the same thing? How come you didn't suspend him then? How come it suddenly got so important now that your series is slipping away? Suddenly it got very important. But when they were down 3-1 to Oklahoma City, it didn't really seem that important. Kind of seemed like, well, I don't know. We'll just kind of let him skate on this one. Kind of let it go. That, to me, is going to stand out just a little bit. LeBron James and Kyrie Irving were absolutely phenomenal. They had, especially those last 3 games, I don't know if they could have played a whole lot better than they did. LeBron and Kyrie were great. And I don't think you can forget the job that Kyrie Irving did. He's always been a little bit, kind of a guy defensively that you try to hide. But what he did was he came out this year and he was so good offensively that you had to try to find ways to match up with him. And you can't overlook that part. Harrison Barnes, of course, the job that he did this year in the finals, struggled a little bit. Now, we have the advantage here at the Daily Dose. We have the advantage of handing out our season end awards after the season is over. Yes, we could hand them out before. We could give out some season awards, at the end of the regular season before we get into the playoffs. But, you know, hindsight's 20/20, and we kind of like handing them out that way. We're going to actually just hand out. I want to hand out just a couple of awards, and then we will get to some Daily Dose awards here in a few. But if I was going to hand out awards, if I got to pick, if I was picking and I was the one declaring the awards, here are some of the awards I get. Rookie of the Year, which is tough to me because, you know, most of these rookies that come out, they go to bad teams and they play in meaningless games. And so I struggle sometimes when you hand out the Rookie of the Year. I guess I'll give it to Minnesota Timberwolves. Big man Karl Anthony Towns, he averaged 18 points a game, 10.5 rebounds a game, but he did it in pretty meaningless games. He did it in games that didn't matter that Minnesota was getting blown out of. Yes, he looks like he has a very, very bright future. But, I mean, when you're down by 30, who cares if you went out and scored 18 points? I also look at a player, down at Miami, someone like Justice Winslow. And I look at Indianapolis or at Indiana with the Pacers and Miles Turner. Miles Turner was a guy that I did not think he would be a very, very good fit in Indy. But both of those guys logged significant minutes for playoff teams. I look at those a little bit higher. So I'll give it to Karl Anthony Towns, I guess. Coach of the Year, number of different ways you can go. Obviously, you know, with what the Cavs did, do you give it to T. Lou or Greg Popovich? Greg Popovich is one of those guys that I look at and I say, I could give him the award every single year that he coaches because he's probably one of the best at. I've got to give the award to Steve Kerr, though. I mean, yes, you didn't finish the way you wanted to, but Golden State won 73 games. He did something right. So I'll give it to Steve Kerr. Obviously, I'm sure they wish they could have finished just a little bit better than they did, but I'll still give it to Steve Kerr. The way he held them together, came back from the back. Maybe I should give it to Luke Walton. Luke Walton held down the bench pretty well when Steve Kerr was out, but I'll give it to Kerr. He's obviously changed the flow. Who would have thought a few years ago that the Golden State Warriors would even be in the situation that they're in right now? Steve Kerr had something to do with that. Remember Mark Jackson, I do think Mark Jackson had a hand in kind of building some of that philosophy, but Steve Kerr has taken that to a different level. So even though they failed at the end, even though they didn't get done, I'm going to give Steve Kerr my coach of the year. Most improved player. Most improved player. Who would you give that to in the NBA this year? Number of different, you know, young guys. Maybe someone like, I don't know, Damian Lillard had a big year. Or CJ McCollum had a big year. I'll tell you who I'm going to give my most improved player to this year. Might surprise you just a little bit. Well, let me give you some stats, and that might help. A year ago, he averaged 23.8 points per game. It's pretty good. Pretty good. This year, he averaged 30.1 points per game. Last year, he made 286 three-pointers. This year, he made 402 three-pointers. Now, you might sit there and say, yeah, well, what was this percentage? It was 45%. My most improved player, I've got to give the 2015 MVP Stephen Curry. Who got better than Steph? Stephen Curry came out after he won the MVP and rewrote the history books again. And yes, he came up short in the finals. But most improved? Show me someone scoring that many points and making that big of a jump. Yeah, I'll go with Steph Curry. Sixth man of the year. Sixth man of the year. Of course, the easy pick has got to be the Los Angeles Clippers, Jamal Crawford. I mean, dude is so good. He's won the sixth man of the year like three, I don't know, four, eight, however many times. He wins it every year. Like, they should just name it the Jamal Crawford Award because he wins it every year. But I'm going to be honest, I'm not going to give it to him. I'm not giving it to him this year. You know who I think I might give it to? Oklahoma City Thunder big man Enes Kanter. Because he makes the Thunder legit inside. You know, the knock on Oklahoma City was always that, yes, they're going to come out and they're shooting and they're going to score some points, but they're not going to do anything at the other end. And so you can just come out and not score them. You can just come out and eventually they'll wear down, and eventually KD will hide in the corner and Russell Westbrook will take a bad shot and you'll beat them. But Kanter changes what they do quite a bit. He suddenly makes them a force at the other end too, because he can defend, he can guard the rim, he can be physical with you, he can contribute a little bit offensively, and he can be kind of a pain, but he really changes the way they look at it. And the fact that he comes off the bench and gives you that lift, Kanter for the Oklahoma City Thunder, that is my sixth man of the year. I'm sorry to Jamal Crawford, because he's been winning it, but I got to go with Kanter. Offensive player of the year, I think that's a pretty easy one. Obviously, Steph Curry with what he did, 30 points a game, 5 rebounds a game for a little skinny little guy, and almost 7 assists a game. Steph Curry is easily my offensive player of the year. Defensive player of the year, I know that their season ended short, but Kawhi Leonard, the job that he does defensively is actually pretty incredible. 6.3 rebounds a game, 2.6 steals per game. But, you know, just like we just talked about, with the era of basketball being what it is, where we have this, you know, small ball and spread and guys cutting, and you can't touch anybody without it being called a foul. There's just so, in that era, he is managing to be such a good defender in a time where the defense's hands are tied just a little bit. You can't hand check. You can't, for the most part, you can't be grabbing guys as they're going through the paint. Yet somehow Kawhi Leonard is managing to be a very, very good defender. I got a feeling that the San Antonio Spurs are going to bounce back a little bit. He's excelling in a time when all the advantages are at the offensive end. My most valuable player, I know Steph Curry, you know, won it for the regular season. But when you look at the NBA Finals, and you look at, here's a guy who led every player in every stat. I have to give my MVP to LeBron James. And I've told you, LeBron is not my favorite guy. He's not my favorite guy. He still gets on my nerves. He still feels like the millennial that needs a hug for every single thing he does. But there's no denying what he did this year. The fact that he took Cleveland to a championship, my goodness, that's something that that's just not done. So, yeah, I got to give my MVP to LeBron James. The NBA, of course, like I said, was last week. If you would like to see grades for every team, I put together a report card for every single team, gave a grade for every single team. Head over to dailydosports.wordpress.com. And you can check out the grade on your favorite team, whatever team you may follow. I gave whether, and they might not have had any picks. Did they acquire anyone? Did they pick anyone up prior to or just after the draft? We've got all that for you over there. Of course, LSU forward Ben Simmons goes with the top pick to the 76ers. I don't know how Ben Simmons is going to do. I think he'll be okay. I don't think he's a guy that's just going to be a monumental bust. I don't necessarily that. I don't know. I mean, he's 18 years old. He's 18. We're getting these kids so young that I don't know how fair it is to expect him to come in and change a team like Philadelphia, who is just a dumpster fire, and somehow, hey, this kid's going to come in and transform them. I like the idea of him coming in and playing that point forward spot, almost being a Magic Johnson type of player, where he's going to come in. He's 6'9", 6'10". He's a lot bigger than I thought he was. He's a big guy. Good passing skills. Can finish around the basket. We don't know if he can shoot. We didn't know if Magic could shoot. Remember Magic? Magic had that set shot. He's kind of that ugly little set. It looked like he was shot putting the ball. But he developed enough that he was a threat that you had to cover him. If Simmons just does that, he'll at least be a threat out there. We'll see if he can do that. I worry about his supporting cast. They're always hurt. And knuckleheads. And there's no leadership. And Simmons did not display any of those qualities as a leader that you would hope to see. That would be my biggest concern for the Philadelphia 76ers. I'm going to give you a few winners that I did like. A few of the winners that I liked in the NBA draft. I can't believe I'm saying this. This kind of makes me feel just kind of sick and dirty. The Denver Nuggets, I sort of liked what they did. I know. It's shocking to me. They needed shooting. They have Emmanuel Mudiay. They have Jokic. They have some role players, some tough guys, some inside. They didn't have any shooting. They go get Jamal Murray from Kentucky, who I think was a very, very safe pick. They go get, who is it, Juan Hernan Gomez. I think he goes by Juancho. I don't know if Juancho sounds like something I order late night at the Waffle House. I'll have the Juancho. And they go get Malik Beasley out of Florida State, who is another guy that can legitimately shoot. They needed shooters, and they went and got shooters. I don't know. I'm stunned, too. I don't even know what to say. So I'll give them a little bit. I really like the New Orleans Pelicans. Buddy Hield. They go get Diallo out of Kansas. They needed someone. Just can anyone please, come give Anthony Davis just a little bit of help. It doesn't have to be a ton. But that guy's going to be down in New Orleans laboring and just getting killed every year. Buddy Hield should be able to step in and maybe take some of that pressure off of him. So I like what the Pelicans did. It wasn't just about the draft, but I like what the Oklahoma City Thunder did. They go get Domantas Sabonis, who I did like. He's an aggressive kid. He'll crash the offensive glass. He can shoot a little bit. But then they trade Serge Ibaka to Orlando and get Victor Oladipo. Now, you might look at Oladipo and say, well, big deal. I mean, we saw Serge Ibaka. He definitely has some bright spots to his game. The thing about Ibaka, he started to kind of fall in love with his outside shooting game. He started to kind of fall in love with his offense. And the thing that Serge Ibaka was so good at being that around-the-rim defender. And he kind of, I know that defense, I used to be good at that. But I don't know if you guys have really seen me shoot the three lately, but I'm really good at that. No, you're not. We got enough shooters. Oklahoma City had enough shooters. They didn't have enough guys playing defense. And when Serge Ibaka kind of fell out of love with playing defense, they kind of had to ship him out. I think Victor Oladipo steps in. And when you look at how the NBA is going to be going into next season, Oladipo's a guy that can defend on the perimeter. That's going to help them a little bit when they face teams like the Golden State Warriors, who I expect to be still a contender next year. I don't know if they'll be quite as good, but they're still going to be around. A couple of losers that I'll give you from the NBA draft. I did not like what the Sacramento Kings did. They drafted projects. They are a bunch of projects. They have a bunch of knuckleheads on that squad. Vlade Divac, he has no idea what he's doing. Like, I'm watching some of the moves they make, and it just looks like some guy at the bar just picking up players. Like, he has no idea what he's doing. You go get some inexperienced big men that don't really have that much quality, and you're going to put him with Boogie Cousins? He's going to eat them up. That is not a good situation. Sacramento Kings, they are going to be bad for a long time. Didn't like what Orlando did, losing Oladipo, getting Ibaka. They don't have any guards as it is. And now Ibaka thinks he's a franchise player, so that's going to be even worse. Didn't like what the Charlotte Hornets did. They traded their number 22 pick for Marco Bellinelli because they felt like they wanted a proven commodity over an unproven draft pick. Since when has Marco Bellinelli proven anything? He's been on like 7 or 8 different teams. He hasn't proven a thing. I don't want him. And I didn't like what the Boston Celtics did. They needed some front court players. They needed some help up front. They go get Jaylen Brown, who is a little bit of a head case, doesn't always work very hard. He's extremely athletic, but he's very immature. I know that Boston still has picks. I know they still have a ton of picks. But if this is what you're going to do with them, then honestly, I don't really care. And then I don't know exactly what to make of Milwaukee taking the Sudanese Australian kid, Thon Maker. Thon Maker, big kid, very athletic kid. Here's my concern. We don't know how old he is. He's either 19 or he's like 23. Now, you might sit there and you say, well, what difference does that make? Who cares? Hey, big strong. Well, if he's 23, he's kind of already as good as he's going to be. In a lot of ways, physically, he's about as good as he's going to get. And if he's only 19, then we should probably start to be seeing more progress from him in the next couple of years. So I don't know exactly what Milwaukee got. I'm not that impressed with that pick. Now we have NBA free agency. NBA free agency starts July 10th. We are going to kind of play, do they leave? Are they going to leave? Let's take a look at some of the big names, because there are some big names. When I read some of these names, you're going to say, wait a second. Listen to some of these names. I spoke briefly about it before. There's going to be a few teams that go chase Golden State Warriors forward. Harrison Barnes. Harrison Barnes is a guy I think that is going to take the money and get as much as he possibly can. I think he is, though, a guy that probably cost himself a good chunk of change with that horrible series that he just had. A little more about him later. The Memphis Grizzlies. Unrestricted free agent point guard Mike Conley. Could Mike Conley be leaving? I know he's saying all the right things. I would not be surprised to see Mike Conley leave. Could he go to somewhere like San Antonio? Could he kind of be the guy in waiting for Tony Parker? Could he go to Dallas? Dallas desperately needs a point guard. Don't be surprised if Mike Conley leaves. Jamal Crawford with the Clippers. Sixth man of the year. Wouldn't you think he'd like to start at some point? He's an unrestricted free agent. I could see him leaving. I know he likes the situation in L.A. He likes the people in L.A. But, money does talk. DeMar DeRozan has already said that he's looking to try to get a deal done with the Toronto Raptors. But I believe he's an L.A. kid. Would he consider going to the Clippers? Would he consider going to the Lakers? Of course, maybe the biggest name out there, Oklahoma City forward Kevin Durant. Where would Durant go? Carmelo Anthony is already talking to Kevin Durant about coming and being a New York Knick. Yeah, that's what I want to do. I want to join the New York Knicks and have to share the ball with Derrick Rose and Carmelo Anthony. I don't know where KD's going to go. I'm going to go out on a limb and say he doesn't end up with the New York Knicks. I think he'll actually stay. I think he'll stay in Oklahoma City and he'll take a one-year deal. And then you'll kind of see what they do. Bulls, unrestricted big man, Pau Gasol could go anywhere. You know, Pau Gasol is really, really close friends with Phil Jackson. Now, I don't know what in the world Phil Jackson is doing with the Knicks. I have no idea. He doesn't seem that invested with what he's doing out there with the Knicks. Could he end up in New York, though? Could he go end up playing, at least in Phil's organization? Hawks forward. Atlanta Hawks forward, Al Horford. Al Horford is a guy that can defend on the perimeter. He's a guy that can contribute. He's kind of a team player. He's a strong kid. Could Al Horford be going somewhere else? I'll tell you a great fit where Al Horford could go and could be very, very good. I'm trying to think. Where did Al Horford play his college ball? Oh, that's right. He played at Florida for Billy Donovan. How would Al Horford look in an Oklahoma City Thunder uniform? Wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, would it? He gives them another big man, another presence inside, and a guy that's smart enough to share the ball and play defense? I don't know. I know the Hawks want to keep him down there. Wouldn't be the worst fit. Couldn't you also see him going maybe to like San Antonio? Maybe it's too much with Aldridge already there, but I could see that. LeBron James, of course, is an unrestricted free agent, but I expect him to sign a one-year deal, and it'll be kind of a wait and see. Who are you going to bring to help me for the next big contract, and then I'll sign something else next year, but I expect LeBron to sign a one-year deal. Joakim Noah, Bulls unrestricted free agent, Joakim Noah. Could he end up in New York? Possible. Could he end up going up to Minnesota and playing for Tom Thibodeau? Also possible. Dallas Mavericks, Dirk Nowitzki, he's not going anywhere. I'll tell you that right now. They will pay Dirk whatever he wants. They'll just give him a blank check and say, you can fill it in. Mavericks, unrestricted free agent, guard Chandler Parsons. Chandler Parsons could contribute a little bit. He's not a you know, first or second option, but he's a third or fourth option, and maybe he could end up in a place like San Antonio. The Heat are already talking to Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade is an unrestricted free agent, and from what I understand, he hasn't been real happy with what they're offering him just yet. Dwayne Wade wouldn't change teams, right? He wouldn't go to, I don't know, Cleveland, right? Right? The Bulls traded Derrick Rose to the Knicks. I mentioned that just a few minutes ago. They get Robin Lopez, Jerry and Grant, and Jose Calderon from New York. There's not enough basketballs to go around in New York, though, are there? I don't know how they're going to get enough shots for Carmelo and Derrick Rose. That would be a really, really nice team if it was 2010, but it's not. The Summer Olympic team is set. You know, we've talked about this just a little bit, but we go to Rio here in August, and the Team USA basketball team is set. I just want to run through these names really, really quick. Here's Team USA. Carmelo Anthony, Harrison Barnes, Jimmy Butler, Boogie Cousins, DeMar DeRozan, Kevin Durant, Paul George, Draymond Green, Kyrie Irving, Kyle Lowry, Klay Thompson, and DeAndre Jordan. Now I'm looking at that team, and I might not be the smartest guy in the world. I've got a few concerns about that team, and I know we're not sitting at the edge of our seat. How's Team USA going to do? But as it gets closer, we'll start to pay a little bit more attention to it. I know that there are some. I'm just like waiting. Like Boogie Cousins causes an international incident, doesn't he? Shouldn't we have a few concerns about this team? Where exactly is, like, the role? I don't know if I see the role players. I see every guy on this team thinks he's the guy. Every player that I just named thinks he's the guy. You kind of have to have some role players to really be at the top of your game. You have to have some guys that say, hey, I'm okay doing the dirty work. I'm okay getting the rebound. I'm okay taking the charge. I don't know if I see that on this list. I have a little bit of kind of some pause there with our Team USA Olympic team. I know Mike Krzyzewski will be coaching them, and I know that he'll probably get them to where they need to go, but I have a little bit of concern. Very talented group. Very talented group. They should be able to score a ton of points. I worry a little bit about some of the roles. You know, as we always do, we've got to hand out some of our Daily Dose Awards. We are going to get to those in just 1 second. I want you to stick around. I got a couple messages I'm going to play, and then we're going to come back and get to some of our Daily Dose Awards. Don't go anywhere. We will be right back.
Yeah, every time I go to get new body armor or some more drones, I always go to Amazon. But I don't just go to any Amazon. I go to rogueintel.com/Amazon. So this way I can help out my favorite podcast with every purchase I make. And I know I purchase a lot. Get to the chopper now!
Hi guys, it's Kim from Round Trip, the travel podcast where we share our stories and travel experiences. You can listen to Round Trip at rogueintel.com.
Dear podcast listener, we accept the fact that we have to sacrifice not only our Wednesdays, but our Fridays as well to entertain you. But we think you are crazy to make us do a promo telling you who we think we are. When you listen to our podcast, you think you know who we are, in the simplest terms, in the most convenient definitions. But what we found out is that each one of us is a dork.
I had the basket case, and I'm a princess.
And I'm a pothead.
Does that answer your question? Sincerely yours, The Prime Podcast. Find out more at theprimepod.com. Think of the tender
things that we were working on. Now, you know it wouldn't be a true Daily Dose award show to kind of cap off this NBA season if we didn't hand out a few Daily Dose awards. Just have a few. I know we just handed out some awards. We do have a few awards that we've got to get to that are a little more, you know, Daily Dose style. The first award that we're going to give out, it's a little bit different of an award. It's called the Didn't You Used to Be Whoever Award. The Didn't You Used to Be Award. And we're going to give that this year to Cleveland Cavalier forward Kevin Love. Kevin Love, we watched him in the playoffs. We watched him all season. I don't know if it's playing with LeBron. I don't know. He doesn't know what he looks like. He doesn't know what he's doing anymore. He seems broken. And every single time that I hear about Kevin Love, every time someone's talking about Kevin Love, it's always, well, how's Kevin Love going to be? If they don't start him in this next game, remember he had the head injury? He had the head injury in game two or whatever it was. And they, well, are they going to start him in game three? No, he's not going to. Well, he's going to start in game four. Well, how's his confidence going to be if he doesn't start? What's wrong with this guy? Step up. When he was in Minnesota, remember he was like a 20-10 guy? Now he is always needing a hug, and he's like broken, and he doesn't have any confidence. He came out in game seven, played a little bit, but didn't you used to be Kevin Love? Here's a number for you. For the finals, K-Love went 8 of 23 for field goals. 8 for 1, 23 is not a very big number. 23. He used to shoot 23 times up in Minnesota in a single game. For 7-game series, he went 8 of 23. Didn't you used to be Kevin Love? Didn't you used to be the leading scorer on a team? He looks like a rec ball player now. So, K-Love, you get an award. Let's give another award. The Thanks from All the Big White Guys Award. All the big white guys around basketball today have to give a big thank you to Knicks forward rookie Kristaps Porzingis. If you have any question about that, like you might be sitting there right now saying, why do they owe him a thank you? Because I want you to just think back to the NBA draft that we just had and all the big white stiffs that were coming from other countries or coming even within, you know, college basketball. And everybody's talking about, well, hey, maybe he's the next Kristaps Porzingis. Yeah, I've got some bad news for you. There's probably not another Kristaps Porzingis. But Porzingis, you know, he came out. We didn't know what he was going to be. If the Lakers had to do it over again, don't you think they take Kristaps Porzingis over D'Angelo Russell? Now that they're starting to see, because he's so long, he can rebound, he can step outside, he can do a number of different things to hurt you. He can stretch the floor. Since that's such a big thing that we like to talk about now, he can stretch the floor. Kristaps Porzingis, all these guys that just came in into the league, again, all the big white dudes, they should be sending part of their check to him because no one was going to draft them otherwise. And they certainly weren't going to draft them high. They certainly weren't going to take them with a top pick. But all these guys that were coming out in the draft this year, I don't know, might be the next Kristaps Porzingis. You never know. It could happen. What was the big kid? Dragon? Yeah, he should give like half of his check to Porzingis. He owes like a full half. The Zubac kid out of Croatia? Yep, send him a check. A number of these guys, they owe Porzingis a pretty good amount of money. Next award. The Kobe Bryant Award. The Kobe Bryant Award. We hand out a Kobe Bryant Award every single year that we've done the Daily Dose. We hand out a Kobe Bryant Award. And it is typically the most shots with the least assists. So I'm trying to think, who could win that this year? Like, who could we give the Kobe Bryant Award to this year? Most shots, least assists. Here's a stat line for you. Shot 50 shots, shot 21 threes, and only had 4 assists. Yes! It's got to be Kobe Bryant. Kobe Bean in his final game shoots 50 times, went 6 of 21 from three-point range, scored 60 points, handed out 4 assists. Now, my only question is, how in the world did he hand out 4 assists? That doesn't sound right to me. Can we check that? Can we look at the video again on that? Because I don't know if I see him. I don't know if he. Who did he? For one, who did he even hand the assists out to? I don't think Swaggy P was playing that game. I think he was out. D'Angelo Russell's confidence had been crushed by then, and he was out. I don't know, surfing Instagram or whatever he was doing. But Kobe wins his own award, which is kind of fitting in his final season. We're happy to give that Kobe Bryant award to Kobe Bryant. Finally, our final Daily Dose NBA award, kind of just put a big bow on the 2015-2016 NBA season. We have to get out our least valuable player. Who could that possibly be? And I know it's tough because we do wait when we do our awards. We wait until after the finals. Now, if we'd handed these out at the end of the regular season, obviously, it'd probably be a little bit different. We probably would give it to someone a little bit different. But now that we've seen the finals, and again, we do have the hindsight, you know, 2020, I think there's really only one guy that can possibly win this award. Some stats for you. I'm not huge on stats, but I got to throw out a little bit. Went 25 of 71 in his seven-game series. In the final series, he was always, always open. He was always open. We talked about it on the show. It didn't matter. When a big shot was needed, when the Golden State Warriors had to, oh, we got to get a bucket here. This is life or death. We've got to come down. We've got to find a way to score. It seemed like Harrison Barnes was always, always open. He had just 10 assists. Shot 71 times. He had just 10 assists. You know, Harrison Barnes is not only our least valued player, he might even be a contender for the Kobe Bryant Award. He didn't hand out any assists. Well, no, 10 assists over seven games. That's like 1.3. No, it's probably too many assists. But he's close. He's close is what I'm saying. Harrison Barnes wins our NBA least valuable player. Now, as we do every single week, we have got to get to our Daily Dose top five. You know, we talked about the NBA draft. We looked at some of the players that came out. We looked at some of the teams and what they did with their draft selections. And when we look at the draft this year, I don't know that there's that many franchise guys. I don't know if there's that many guys that you look at and just say, hey, they could really take a franchise. The problem is that we're getting these 18, 19-year-old kids that come out. And what they're going to change a franchise? They're not capable of changing a franchise yet. Maybe in 2, 3, 4 years, we can start to see that. But there's not many franchise. Ben Simmons? Is Ben Simmons going to? Is he going to end up doing anything? I don't know. I like some of what he brings to the table. Brandon Ingram with the Lakers? Is he going to be the guy that kind of turns the momentum out in L.A. and gets the Lakers going again? I don't know. That's a pretty thin, narrow, skinny back that you're going to try to put a big franchise on. It doesn't seem like we have these franchise guys. But here's one thing to think about. There's been a number of times in the past that teams have gotten some really, really good values late in the draft. So maybe we're looking at the top guys. We're looking at Simmons. We're looking at Ingram. We're looking at guys like Chris Dunn and some of the top players coming in on the draft. But maybe it's the guys later in the draft that are going to develop and are going to end up being the best players to come out. Let's take a look today on our Daily Dose Top 5. We look at Top 5, the NBA draft steals. These guys weren't even really known about. They were taken late. They were taken in the second, sometimes even the third round. Ended up being phenomenal, phenomenal cornerstones to a franchise. So maybe we got to look at this just a little bit differently. Let's take a look at the Daily Dose top five NBA draft steals of all time. Number five on our list. Now, this guy was actually from Chicago, but he attended high school in California. And here's a little known fact you might not know about this player. Because of his size, he's a big guy. He was actually chosen to play a sleestak on the 70s kids show Land of the Lost. Yeah, you didn't know that, did you? He ended up at Notre Dame, but he wasn't a big name. He wasn't a big-time player. He went to Notre Dame. He lasted until the third round of the NBA draft, and he was drafted 65th by the Cleveland Cavaliers. Played a year in Italy, and he came back and rejoined the Cavs. He would eventually be traded to the Detroit Pistons, and then he ended up playing 14 seasons. He scored almost 14,000 points. Yeah, he was one of the cornerstones of the Bad Boys in Detroit, a four-time All-Star, A two-time NBA champion. He led the NBA in rebounding in 1986. His number 40 is retired by the Pistons. But Bill Laimbeer wasn't taken until the third round of the draft. 65th pick for Bill Laimbeer. He ended up being pretty good. He ended up being, yes, he was dirty, a little bit of a thug. Yeah. And also really, really, really good. He's number 5 on our list. Number four player on our list, he was the 8th out of 16 kids, born and raised in Compton, California. He ended up going to Pepperdine University and was drafted by the Seattle Supersonics in 1976 with the 29th overall pick. Lasted until the second round. But unlike our first guy, unlike Laimbeer, this guy started to show right away that he's pretty good. There was no question he belonged. There was no question that the Sonics got a steal. He was aggressive. He was a slasher. You might not remember this if you don't go back far enough, a little before my time. But he was a guy that actually started to popularize a guy just slashing off the wing and just dunking it on somebody. We think of that now. You think of a Jordan. You think of a LeBron James, somebody like that. This guy is one of the guys that kind of started that. He led the Seattle Supersonics to their only NBA title, and he was named Finals MVP. But you might remember him a little more when he ended up in Boston. And he was more of a defender. He was more of just a solid point guard. He was a 3-time champion. He was a 5-time All-Star. Scored 15,000 career points. And he was a 6-time All-NBA defensive first teamer. But Dennis Johnson, that played with the Celtics, played with the Sonics, he wasn't drafted that high. They didn't think he, small school, he went to Pepperdine. No, this is a guy that could drive, he could slash, he could shoot, and he was a tenacious defender. Dennis Johnson comes in at number 4. Number 3 on our list, top 5 steals. The problem that this guy had growing up, one, he was a small guy. He wasn't very big. And two, his two sisters were better at basketball than he was. His two sisters ended up going to Louisiana Tech. He ended up getting into high school. He's like 5'6". He's in high school. He's not really playing. He's not really very good. He ended up growing to 6'7". And he was drafted 27th by Detroit in 1986. He kind of made playing defense and being a rebounder kind of a popular thing, kind of cool. I can go in and I can just contribute. I can just play defense. I can just be a rebounder, and I can get playing time. Ended up playing for 14 seasons. Again, 5-time NBA champion, 2-time All-Star, 2-time Defensive Player of the Year, 7-time rebounding champion. He was crazy, but Dennis Rodman won pretty much everywhere he went. And he was probably a part of maybe the greatest team, one of the greatest teams ever, the 96 Bulls. Played with Jordan, and he knew his role. He understood his role. His role wasn't to go out and try to manufacture points. How many guys do we see today? Just be a rebounder. Just be a defensive player. No. We talked a little bit about Serge Ibaka. Understand your role. Not that you can't ever shoot, but it's probably not your strength. Dennis Rodman understood his strengths and his weaknesses. He's number 3. Number 2 on our list is a kid that grew up in Argentina. His dad and both of his brothers actually played pro ball. He started playing professionally in Argentina and then ended up going over to Italy. He was drafted by the San Antonio Spurs with the 57th pick of the 1999 NBA draft. Really, 57th pick? I think about that now, and do they even go that high anymore? In 1999, drafted with the 57th pick, played 3 more years. So he gets drafted. He played 3 more years in Italy. It wasn't like, hey, they drafted me, I'm going to come play for San Antonio. He's like, I kind of like things here over here. I'm doing pretty well in Italy. Ended up joining the Spurs in 2002, and it kind of ended up being worth the wait because Manu Ginobili was a 4-time NBA champion, 2-time All-Star, and was the NBA 6th man in 2008. But Manu Ginobili, again, not taken with a real high pick. Maybe we're looking at this draft a little bit off. Maybe we need to look at some of these picks that were taken later in the draft. They might be the guys that actually end up shining. Our number 1 NBA draft steal of all time. Who could it be? Got any thoughts on this one? I mean, this guy was pretty good. This guy was pretty good. He played high school ball in Detroit. And as a senior in high school, he averaged 31 points and 20 rebounds per game. He actually got a scholarship to go play at Cal State Long Beach, which of course ended up being Long Beach State. He was going to play for Jerry Tarkanian. But when he went out to California, it was just too much culture shock. He was just like, I can't hang. I gotta go back. I gotta go back to Michigan. That's where I'm from. He went back, finished his college career at Eastern Michigan, and he was drafted in the third round, number 40. He was drafted with a 40th pick of the 1974 NBA draft by Phoenix. Now Phoenix took him, and they didn't even think that much of him, so they just sold his rights to San Antonio. But this guy could just score. He ended up playing 14 seasons in the ABA and NBA, 9-time All-Star, 6-time All-NBA first team, 4-time NBA scoring champion. He scored over 26,000 points in his career. And I mean, still to this day, you go find the film. He had the finger roll. George the Iceman Gervin lasted until the third round of the NBA draft. Iceman, if you could find a steal like that late in the rounds, I'm pretty sure we can probably find some guys today that could end up being some steals. Hey, next week on the show, I told you, I've been telling you this. You know, we're in kind of a dry season. We're in kind of, there's just not a lot going on. Basketball's over. Hockey's, of course, over. But football hasn't started yet. Baseball's going and really long and boring, and there's just not that much. But, you know, we still have some special things coming on the Daily Dose. Next week, we will have our second annual Dosey Awards. Now, if you are unfamiliar with the Dosey Awards, and you can go back and you can find the other shows, they might be out there on iTunes, or go over to thedailydose.wordpress.com. You can find them there. We hand out Dosey Awards every year for athletic achievement and really just for excellence in general. Next week, the second annual Dosey Awards will be taking place. If you haven't heard the Doseys, I'm telling you, you got to check them out. Hey, if you get a chance, head over to wherever it is that you download the podcast. Give us a quick 5-star rating and a review. We would appreciate that so much. Head over to rogueintel.com. Check out the forum over there. Feel free to comment and give us a quick review there, or ask any questions that you would like to there as well. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next week for the Dosey Awards. Have a great week, everybody.